I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSCs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. That last caller, wasn't too happy about two-factor authentication. He got locked out of his device. And it was an old Apple 5, iPhone 5. And, nothing I can do about it, right? So, I mean, when you're talking about security, if you lock yourself out of it, whether you encrypt your laptop, if you lose the passphrase, we can't help you. If you have two-factor authentication and you lock yourself out of your system, nobody can help you. The idea of a lock is that you can't unlock it. So remember that. Write the stuff down so you can get it open again. And I'm sure he did everything he could. It could also be a problem with the two-factor on the old iPhone 5. Just speaking of that, he reminded me that if you run an iPhone 5 and you haven't updated to the latest iOS by November 3rd.
Tomorrow.
Right. You'll know, and you got to do it by the or your App Store won't work anymore, your iCloud email won't work, and your browsing won't work. Now, of course, the drawback is once you update and stick all that iOS on your iPhone 5, it'll probably not work after you're done because it'll fill it up. Just kidding. I'm sure it'll work fine. Although you never know with Apple because they're planned obsolescence policies. But definitely, if you still like your Apple iPhone 5 and you haven't updated it, you need to do it by the 3rd or you're not going to have a functioning
device. By tomorrow.
Yes. That's right.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't run an Apple device, so I don't have these issues.
Tomorrow. I'll drop you tomorrow.
Let's get to your calls. We have three lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to Neil in Berlin. Hey, Neil, what's up?
Hi. I'm in the market for a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
A laptop, just a family laptop. The one I have now is over 7 years old and runs Windows 7.
Yep.
And so I was looking at them, and I was wondering what would be the best way to transfer the data, you know, pictures and software and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If I go to one, you know, some place like Best Buy, you know, they have a group that'll do it for like $100.
Yeah.
I called another small computer store in the area, and they were want to do it for like $29 to $49.
Hmm.
What do you guys recommend for the transferring of data from an old, you know, laptop to a new laptop?
Well, it's pretty simple. You could do it yourself. It's a copy and paste. You need an intermediary hard drive, so you need to spend $50 on a hard drive. I assume you have a backup running now, right?
I have a backup hard drive, yes.
Yeah. So you can make a directory, and you're going to, you know, call it whatever you want, transfer. Go to your old Windows 7 laptop, look for the files you'd like to move to the new one, and copy them into this new transfer directory, right? Then take that hard drive, plug it into the new laptop, and go ahead and copy those files into the directories you'd like to put them in. Put your pictures in pictures, put your documents in documents. It's that simple. So it's a copy and paste. There's absolutely no magic involved in moving your files, and to pay those folks to do that is not necessary. And then again, I don't know how much you trust these guys looking at your stuff.
Well, that was question number two, really.
Yeah.
How do I know, like trusting looking at stuff? Are they putting tracking software on my,
They're not going to do that. You never know, right? Because who knows who they're hiring. But the point is, you're giving your computer with all its data on it, all the things that if I went to your home and sat down at your computer, you wouldn't want me poking around in, right? And you know me from the radio. You wouldn't want me doing it, right?
That links to, you know, our 401ks,
right,
password cheat sheets, and things like that.
And again, you would never invite them into your home to sit down on your computer to look at all that stuff, would you?
No.
But you're going to hand your computer over to them on a counter and say, copy my life to this from this computer to that one, and don't look at anything. Thank you.
Make sure it works.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird issue, right? So if you can do this yourself, it's a copy and paste, Neil. It's really not rocket science, and it still stays within your purview.
Yeah, and I may give that a shot. Maybe I'll look at some you know, how.
So copy, C, users, your profile name. So if you log in and your name is what you call it, then there'll be a profile under C users on the hard drive.
Right.
That's your profile. Copy that over. Now from there you can get your favorites, you can get your desktop icons, you can get your downloads, your pictures, whatever it is that you saved in your profile.
Put it this way, Neil. If I can learn how to change the oil on my lawnmower,
yeah,
which is definitely a challenge for a guy like me, you can do this.
Yeah, God, I'm a holdout and still change the oil on my cars.
See? you're highly skilled as far as I'm concerned. Copying your data from one computer to another should not require a third party.
Okay. And finally, this is a list that's been given to me by my wife, who went off to the gym rather than call you guys, so
all
I
right.
do it. Yeah. She's saying, what do you guys recommend? Is she talking about renting a modem versus we buy a new modem?
You buy it.
Buy it.
So, what's your internet company?
Comcast.
Yeah, so you go to your local, here you can go to your local big box, Staples, Best Buy, and say, hey, I'd like to buy a Comcast-capable modem.
Okay.
And you buy it. And then you buy your own router and spend a couple $100. It'll pay for itself. If you look at what you're paying monthly for the rental, it'll pay for itself.
So okay. Then what you're going to do when you get it and you plug it in, call Comcast, and they're going to want to know what the MAC address of your new modem is.
Right. MAC has nothing to do with McDonald's.
Yep.
It's a unique identifying number. And then
it'll be on the bottom of the device.
And they'll say, congratulations to you, Neil. Thank you for punting our hardware to the curb. And here is the authentication to use your own modem. And now cable companies make like a third of their money renting hardware to us.
Now, then you got to take the old box that they, their old modem, and bring
it back
to them.
Or they'll keep renting
they'll
it
keep
to you.
charging you for it.
Oh, yeah. I figure that.
Yep. And then you can get if you're ever looking to cut the cable, you can then send back your TV tuner as well and do that as well.
Well, I've been listening to, we would love to cut Comcast out of our TV. We're down, you know, to one device in the house, and I was listening to the lucky guys in, where was it, West Hartford?
Yes.
You know.
They're so lucky.
Good deal they have.
Yeah, but you could easily do that yourself with Comcast. Just say, hey, I want 100 megabits or less for internet, and it's all you need. It's all you're going to pay them. And then you just plug in a streaming device, whether it's a Roku, whether it's a Shield, whether it's Apple TV. You buy that hardware once, and then you pay for whatever your streaming service is, whether it's YouTube TV or Netflix or Amazon Prime. Everyone's got Amazon Prime these days, it seems, and that's got so much content. It's $100 a year.
Yeah, we actually have that. My wife we have that, and we are not utilizing it as well as we should be.
Amazing content. And now that the clocks are going to go going back, we're all going to be stuck in our homes, you know, nothing to do. What can we do? We can binge whatever is on the old stream.
Exactly. Okay. I think you answered my question. One was do it yourself. Two was, they don't, you know, it's not a good idea to have a third party. And then the final one is to buy the modem and the router.
Yeah, you'll save money in no time. You'll have all extra money to take your wife out to dinner.
There you go.
Everyone wins.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right, Neil, you too. Actually, I saw another thing on the news. Somebody was whining about the climate impact of binging things. Now, of course, that's a typical misnomer, right? Because any streaming is the same thing as binging. So the moment I cut the cable, for me to get TV now is a much more electric intensive operation, because the data, the server farms that are required for Amazon to stick Netflix on its monster server farms produces massive amounts of carbon. So it's not binging. It's any streaming, right? In the old days, you just needed a rabbit ear with tinfoil on it, and that didn't produce a lot of electricity costs for the broadcaster. They just stuck it on the pole here on Avon Mountain and broadcast it out to you. Now you need umpteen servers cooled down to a certain degree, backed up with generators. So it's not binging that's a climate issue. It's streaming in general, right? They don't want you to stream. But how are you going to get your stuff? How are you going to get your information? It's ridiculous. But when they talk about binging, when you're on the stream, it's the same thing. So I'm not sure why they're picking on binging if you're streaming.
Well, there's somebody against everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's always somebody.
But as far as I'm concerned, streaming is the way to go to save some money on your cable bill. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. What I was talking about on the whole streaming thing is this is new information out. It's not new. It's just, come on. It's the same idea here. These articles talk about, believe it or not, as I mentioned before on the show for the past 25 years, it's the porn industry that really created the internet, and that wasn't Al Gore. And so this part of this article talks about the fact that the watching of porn on the internet is actually producing 300 million tons of carbon dioxide here. So as much carbon dioxide as the entire country of Belgium, Bangladesh, and Nigeria put together, just the pure watching of porn. And of course, Netflix is part of that problem too. On-demand video services such as Netflix account for a third of that. So guys, I mean, it is what it is when it comes to this technology. You need energy. If you go online and you look up, you know, even Amazon, AWS, where they have these monster server farms, they don't even want to talk about how much energy they're utilizing and consuming. You know, you can talk about carbon offsets all you want. You can buy as much trees as you want. These processes take up an awful lot of energy. A computer running a processor is a hot item. And imagine if you need a million people to stream The Irishman like the caller wants to watch. It's not like broadcast TV. It's an expensive Rube Goldberg way to get your TV, but it works. And we're all doing it to get away from the costs of cable TV. If cable TV wanted to talk about being green and lower their prices because they're not as energy intense, then maybe everyone would move that back that way. Or let's go back to what broadcast used to be. There's not as much energy being used in broadcast. Stick up some antennas and broadcast it out versus streaming it down a pipe. If you care about these things. So again, I bring it up only because you talk about folks, you go to parties and you hear people talking about global warming and the climate dilemma, and then their next breath, they talk about what they binged. You know, you can't be saying you're for one thing and then binge it on the next and not understand the impact you're making. Or then you say, hey, I'm going to go on a cruise. That's not the most clean way to vacation. It's just not. I digress. I just find it, you know, hypocritical. Let's go on to John in Bristol and see what he's got going on. Hey, John.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
It's probably a fairly simple resolution, but I have an Apple MacBook Pro 2015. I use their Time Machine for backup.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 2 gig G Technologies hard drive that I've overfilled. I did not delete any older files for my backup,
uh-huh.
And now it doesn't recognize the drive. It cannot, you know, fill it up anymore because it's maxed out.
Wow.
I can see it in disk utilities. So when I open up disk utilities, it's there. And I'm just wondering if the easiest thing to do would be to just erase the whole thing and start from scratch again.
Wow.
Or because there's no way that I can get it into Time Machine to actually go back into the archives and delete some of the files, you know, that are probably a year old.
But this is on a separate drive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's full of backups, and it just let you fill it to the brim, and then it just said, I'm done.
Yeah, even the last time I tried to back it up, it didn't warn me that there wasn't enough space or anything like that, or you should, you know, delete some older ones. I didn't have it set up. I didn't even look into the settings probably to see if there was a way of purging stuff after it gets to be a certain age.
Yeah.
So I just hooked it up and was doing my monthly backup on it, and it just kept going and going, and all of a sudden it said, you know,
you're done.
Not enough space on the hard drive, and it's like you can't even see it. Like I say, it doesn't show up in my locations, in my Finder. But if I open Disk Utilities,
yeah,
it's there as an external drive. Okay. So I'm just thinking the best thing to do is just erase it and start filling it up again.
Can you reach any part of it with File Explorer?
File Explorer.
Well, he's equating it to a Windows solution. It's a Mac.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what they call a File Explorer.
However you browse. You're saying you couldn't browse to the drive, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I go into my Apple, if I go to the Finder window.
Finder, that's their version of Explorer.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I was to go to the Finder, you know, and just go into everything for like locations and stuff where it shows my regular hard drive or any external hard drives that I plug in, any of my other, you know,
it doesn't show up.
Drives that it doesn't show up.
Gotcha.
It shows up in my tree under Thunderbolt, because I have to use a US or a FireWire to Thunderbolt adapter cable.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into my systems folder and I go into the tree for external devices, it shows up there. And again, it shows up under Disk Utility, but it's, you know, it doesn't show up anywhere else. So I can't go in and find that hard drive and click in and see the folders of the history and delete any archives.
Okay. Yeah, because the articles that we're finding talk about the ability to use Finder to go in there and maybe move the backups folder to another piece of media, and you're not able to even use Finder.
Because
we can put a link up here on this article that we found, but it talks about using Finder to get over to it, find that backups.backupdb folder, and maybe relocate it to another disk.
Well, I'll check the link that you guys post up before I go ahead and
blow it away,
erase
right?
the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if it just seems like I just can't seem to find it anywhere.
Well, are we also confident that the drive is healthy? So how long have you used that drive?
Probably 4 years.
Okay. It could be, believe it or not, a coincidence where it just failed at the same time it looks to be full.
It does show it full, you know, when I'm in my Disk Utility. It does definitely show it as full. But
right, but you should be able to browse it. Even though it's full, you should still be able to look at the files on the full disk. It shouldn't fill itself so far that it's unreadable unless it's damaged.
There may be some utility that I'm not aware of because I'm not a Mac person. But there may be some utility that will allow you to go, a third party, that allow you to go in and see the files and allow you to delete one or two of them so that it'll show up again.
Right. There is a Mac utility you can run, right? There is a Disk Utility, right?
Yeah.
It's
just a standard Disk Utility, which I have, you know, like, I guess it was the old Disk Doctor or whatever that was.
Does it show as a healthy drive? If you run the utility, it should tell you whether it's healthy or not. If it comes back,
I just ran it and it says first aid process is complete, disk is done, and it gives me a green check mark. So.
Okay, so the drive's healthy. So you should be able to go maybe follow the article we're going to post it and try to relocate some of those backups to another piece of media or delete them. Because it sounds like the drive is fine.
That's what I'd like to do, but you know, there's probably nothing of value on there at this point, you know.
Yeah, you could always start fresh, like you're thinking.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to lose anything because your primary is still there, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you could just wipe it, start over, and no harm, no foul. It's just that in between the time that you back it up after you've wiped it, you're vulnerable.
That's
when Murphy strikes.
Just set your thing to overwrite files older than so many days, whatever.
You should be able to do that.
I just never really went in. I thought maybe I did, but, you know, sometimes, like, so many of these things, when you do an update for their iOS, things get set back to a default, and maybe I didn't go back in there and check that, and, you know, just went on the assumption that I'd just plug it in and do my usual thing and let it run. But,
yeah, that sounds like what happened probably.
Yeah.
All right, John, good luck. I got to go to a break. I got to put you on hold.
Okay, yep.
We're going to go to a break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. And we were on with John in Bristol. You still there, John?
Yes, I am.
Well, all right. What was your second question?
You guys, the streaming stuff.
Yeah.
I've tried a couple things. You know, I've put an antenna back in the attic and got rid of, you know, Comcast outrageous prices for stuff.
Yeah.
The biggest problem I'm finding, and, you know, it's the convenience is, you know, Comcast, you use one remote and you're good to go and everything else, you know, for family members and everything else to try and write a cheat sheet on how to get to, you know, Netflix or Hulu or any of these things. You
it's
know?
So I easy, mean, John.
Like you say, the more streaming devices you get and stuff like that, it makes it more complicated for some people.
You're misunderstanding it then. You need a better device. You need a better device. So I agree with you, right? Because my I hope she's not listening. My wife's not that good at this stuff.
Yeah, mine too. So
yeah. So you need a good box, and so you get the Nvidia Shield, like I talked about, or a Roku.
Right,
that one box can control them all. That it's literally the size of a packet, a deck of cards.
Oh, I know. I have an old Apple TV, which was, you know, it's pre 4K.
Yeah.
I have an old Roku, which is, you know, probably their second version.
Yeah. Pick one to rule them all. You need one to rule them all. You can't run a bunch of them. You need one.
Yeah.
And then they run all the different apps.
And I am thinking about purchasing a new TV that has, you know, the built-in Roku or all that stuff. And then that way there, it definitely eliminates some of the confusion. But none of them are very easy to navigate anyway.
Oh, they are. Oh, my gosh. They're simple.
Are they?
Yes. I'm telling you, look at the Shield. So this is Android TV, very easy to navigate, super easy to navigate. And the beauty of it is I take it with me. So when we go on vacation, our entire entertainment, all TV channels I want, go with me. I plug it into the hotel TV. I plug it into the rental that we might be at, plug it right in. If you put it on your TV, you're stuck with it on your TV. If you buy a device that can go with you, your TV can just work on being its best picture. And not have to worry about the software updates. And I mean, updating your TV software, I mean, you know it's going to take forever. You may as well just get a box. Check out the Shield or just go to Apple TV. That's another high-end device you have there.
Which is right.
So, you know, and my wife's already texting me. I guess she heard what she was listening.
I think mine's listening in the bathroom right now too. So.
But I'm telling you guys, streaming is beautiful. And the thing is, when the TVs try to throw it on their devices, you lose the ability to make a change, right? So my TV does have software built into it too, but I chose a little box that I could take with me so that I can put that box in any TV I want. I can bring it wherever I want. It's so tiny and small. It doesn't take up any space. And it works beautifully because it's NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a company that produces video cards.
I mean, they're the top rated video cards and graphic cards for... I do a lot of high-end video and photography, drone operating and stuff like that. So I know NVIDIA is definitely the top of the line in that case, you know?
Yeah, so I think you should consider picking one of the two boxes, go with it, and then as long as you've got those boxes on your TVs, everyone should have no trouble with it. It really is kind of idiot-proof. I mean, the NVIDIA box that I have had three buttons on it. Now, even for me, I was trying to figure out how to turn the thing off because there's not an off button, but you had to hit... You had to hit two buttons at the same time. So they almost went too minimalist because I'm looking at it like, what the heck? So you just give it to a 15-year-old, and the moment the 15-year-old has it, it's some sort of magic. And all of a sudden, they can do things that controller that I wouldn't even imagine it can do. It's very easy to use, and you get to hand the cable boxes back to the cable company and say, thanks for nothing.
And that's what I'd like to do because, you know, they're just – taking us over to Kohl's here.
They're killing us.
And even with their, you know, internet, I got plenty of downloads but upload for me to upload large video files. They're giving me six gigs,
megabits
megabits a second, you know, versus 150 down.
Right.
When I'm trying to shove a, you know, 2 gig file
upload,
through the internet to another client, it's like, okay, 3 hours later.
Exactly. So when fiber comes to your neighborhood in Bristol, like GoNetSpeed, it's synchronous 150 up and down for $50.
Right.
For $50. Exactly.
I heard you guys talking about that earlier. So, you know.
Yeah. We're hoping to have them on our show. We're hoping to have them on our show next Saturday. We had Whip City Fiber on here, if you recall, last fall. Those guys are up there in the buggy whip capital of the world, Westfield, Mass. I mean, literally, the buggy whip capital of the world has better fiber, better internet than most of us in New England because they have their own power company and they ran their own fiber.
Gigabit internet for the home for $59 a month.
Up at Whip City Fiber. I mean,
both directions.
You got to love the irony of that. I mean, it's just the buggy whips are no longer a thing, but they've got the best fiber on the planet. I mean,
yeah,
we got to do that more here.
Where are the guys out of that are in West Hartford?
They're from Go NetSpeed, and I think they're out of Rochester,
New York.
Yeah, but they've got communities in West Hartford, New Haven, Bridgeport, Pittsburgh, and they're just waiting for people to tell them that they want to come. And I think because we still here in Connecticut are the land of steady habits, clearly, as our voting record would show. We continue
to
get
politics involved.
We don't, but we continue to take a beating and say thank you, may I have another with these prices. I don't know why we do it, but we do it. So it's easy to use, and your comments about why you didn't do it yet fully is what we have to fix because it's so simple to use. And again, I admit my wife made me do it too. Because I've been working with technology all day long. Do I want to mess with my own technology at home? But it really was simple, and I really had no reason that I shouldn't have done it. I just procrastinated, and we're also all guilty of that. But you'll save a ton of money, you know.
That's definitely part of the cause here. So
very good.
Okay,
all right,
thanks for your help, guys.
You're welcome. Bye bye. All right, we're gonna step out for a quick break. We got four lines open for you guys. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But before I go to a break, just so you know, we talked about NordVPN last week. They got hacked. This is a security system where, you know, you can go ahead and surf securely and privately. And this article is kind of funny. Who's triumphantly slamming the barn door shut after the horse has bolted at Warp 9? NordVPN. Now they're going to do things like what? Pen tests. Huh. They're going to do security audits. Oh, that's a great idea. They're going to do RAM-only servers as part of a lockdown plan. Wouldn't you have thought the VPN company would have done that in the first place? This is my point when it comes to anything with technology. Geeks make it work. They don't think about the security on the back end, period. Why do you think I don't do online banking? We'll be right back. And we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. You can, of course, find us via the podcast over at radio.com. You can stream us and, of course, stream any of our past shows and podcasts over at radio.com. We've got links to it from computertalkwithtab.com and, of course, from WTIC.com. And let's get right to your calls, and we're going to go to John in Killingworth. What's going on, John?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your program. I love listening every Saturday.
Oh, thanks.
I love the idea of getting away from the cable company. NVIDIA sounds like a great idea with the YouTube TV.
Yeah.
The trouble that I've been listening, and the one thing, unfortunately, in Killingworth, the phone service is very poor. I'm not calling from there right now. I'm actually in Rocky Hill, but basically... I need a reliable phone line for work because I work from home at, you know, one day a week, basically. And, you know, obviously it's nice to be able to get a call and actually be able to hear the person. So the extra money that we're spending on the cable is more for the phone line that comes with the package, which of course was cheap when you first got it, but then obviously goes way up.
Exactly. They seem to want to push these phone services like they're selling them, like they've got some sort of incentive from the government to sell these phone lines. I don't know what it is. So you don't need that phone service from the internet company. You can get your own VoIP phone service free. We've talked about UMA. They'll give you a free phone line. Just plug in their box and you now have a free phone. I know it sounds weird. You're just going to pay the FCC taxes if you want to use it. Obviously, you can use a smartphone that uses your Wi-Fi.
So, I've done the Wi-Fi calling, and a lot of times it's not quite as good quality me. But
it could be both your phone or it's probably your phone. Your version of your phone may not be as smart as it should be to handle Wi-Fi calling, because Wi-Fi calling is usually solid as a rock on a phone that's current enough. So UMA, check out UMA.
It's a Samsung 7, but I was just curious, like in terms of the UMA.
Yeah.
So it's using, so it'd still be using the internet.
Correct.
That, okay, all right, but that's, And theoretically, the quality should, is that basically, it's the same idea though as Wi-Fi calling if you're using your phone service?
Yep, it's going to use your internet service. Just now, the cable company is trying to emulate copper. Right, so you've got a little emulation coming off of your modem to emulate a copper line, which you're saying is not that good, right? Or is it good?
Right. So, well, the cable line is fine.
Okay.
It's just that, you know, when you're paying all the extra money and you know you don't really need as much, you know.
Check out UMA. It's free.
That's, I could probably go to the store for that, basically. I mean, just regular Best Buy type of thing.
It's a little box. They'll give you the line for free. They're going to try to upsell you on all sorts of other features of the phone line, if you want to do that, but you don't necessarily need to. You get it for free. Just pay the taxes on it, the War of 1812 tax, that kind of stuff. And then you reduce your internet service down to 100 megabits or less. Cut your cable service completely, your TV service. Buy a stream, and you're going to save. You know how those guys come out with a solar, right? Hey, you're going to save hundreds on your power bill. I just saved you that right now, and it's going to cost you $100 to buy a streaming device.
Okay.
And you don't need anything on your roof.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting.
No.
The fiber optic that you're talking about, like in West Hartford, coming to other places. I mean, a town like Killingworth that's got like 6,500 people, we seem to, you know, when you don't have much population, you end up getting things kind of at the very end of things.
So I'm
just wondering, is that the only type of thing? I mean, is that type of service only going to be available probably in higher populated areas?
Well, right, you chose that because you didn't want to hang out with people. That's why you're out there.
I drive to people.
Yeah, but you can't have it both ways.
You're right. That's partly why I want to move from Killingworth. No offense, Killingworth people, but yes.
So the answer probably is that you're going to have to wait a bit. But when 5G comes out. And you're gonna those services may get to Killingworth eventually, where they're gonna stick up all these 5G towers, or they'll, you know, however they're gonna disseminate the signal. Then you're gonna see some nice bandwidth opportunities that are just as fast as fiber.
Okay.
So someday, but you're probably gonna be way down the line. You guys chose it out there. You want to hang out with the deer and the antelope. Don't come whining to us about technology.
Still haven't seen a bear yet, but I'm hoping.
We see them in Southington, like they're everywhere.
I know. I hear they're up
I've
there. And it's just
seen
like
bears in my own backyard in Bristol.
I had a 70-pound coyote run across my front yard. A coyote. Oh my God, really? What am I doing with these coyotes in my yard?
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
I thought they were only down by the border.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, John. Good luck. Our pleasure.
All right, take care.
Yep. Bye bye. Yeah, the coyotes are crazy.
Yeah, we got them in our neighborhood. Well, they come through and they go yelping in the middle of the night.
Yeah, all I can think of is Elaine saying, "The dingo ate your baby." And you see the coyote. I'll never do a good Australian accent. Let's go on to John in Farmington. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
So this call is just basically kind of a PSA warning.
Uh-oh.
It's interesting. So we had a phishing attack yesterday, and it was actually more focused around social engineering than it was from a technical perspective.
So somebody
we got a call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, we got a call from on a mobile phone.
Yep,
on my wife's mobile phone, and it was spoofed and said Apple.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And we're an Apple household.
Yep.
And the person on the phone said that your Apple ID. This is so and so from Apple. Your Apple ID has, you know, potentially been hacked,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. But what was very interesting about it was that from a social aspect, they had my wife go and check several settings without asking for any personal information, mind you.
Yeah.
Go and check several settings on her phone and on our, you know, home computers, which are Macs at this point. And then, and here's the kicker, after you gained that trust.
Right.
That they asked you, okay, so you need to go to this website.
That's
and
the kicker.
The website was, can I mention it?
You can, but it's a fake site. It's a phishing site.
Understood. It could be any URL, but just in case somebody else is having the same problem.
Yeah.
It's fastsupport.com/ whatever ID that they give you from a numeric perspective.
Well, Fast Support is just a remote access tool for the guys in the third world who are about to take over your account.
Exactly. And I'm listening to it in the background, and I'm going, no, thank you. We're all good.
And they'll never call you. Apple won't call you. Microsoft won't call you. Nobody's going to call you and tell you your account has been impacted. They won't email you. What you need to do, though, now that you've had this happen to you, is enable two-factor authentication on your...
Oh, it's already enabled. Yeah.
That's good.
Here's the thing. So, but about visiting that URL, most people may not understand that once they visit that URL and or click on a link or download something, then even if your firewall is on...
Oh, yeah. You right? brought them in. You opened the door. You brought them in.
Right.
You opened the front door.
Yeah. So I just thought it was very interesting. I thought I should share with the listening group.
I think that's great that you did, and thank you very much for doing so.
No worries. Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too.
You open the door and let them in. Then you close the door and lock it, and they're still inside.
Yeah, and two-factor doesn't prevent that. So if you give the bad guys the information, nothing's going to stop them, right? Because they're even going to ask you for the two-factor piece. If they've got your password, they're going to say, oh, okay, I see that you have two-factor enabled. Please let me know what the code is. And you're going to tell them.
And then they're going to change it.
Exactly.
Lock you out.
And this happens with even folks targeting you for your bank accounts. If you got two-factor authentication on your bank, people have actually had the bad guys call them. Hey, you've got a problem with your bank account. They do the same exact trick you just described. They actually do the same exact trick to ask for the two-factor authentication on your PIN. You give it to the bad guys, and then they empty your bank account. No one's going to call you and ask you if you've got Prince Albert in a can. Right?
Mm. Yep.
If you do, let them out. I know it's really an old joke. Only like 7 people understand it. Let's go into Jim in Winstead. Hey, Jim.
Morning. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Funny thing, I got that call yesterday too.
You
did. The only Apple I have is in the refrigerator.
There, yeah. So they'll call for Android too, though. But it's just easier to say Apple.
Oh, that's my question. Is about I have a new doctor, and their site is on what's called Hilo.
Okay.
It's you have to download something from Google Play. Is it possible to do that on a desktop? Because all I have for a phone is just a track phone.
I don't know, Jim. I would think if it's your doctor, they were not going to give you just one way to access that system. There must be a web-based Hilo portal of some kind.
Well, I went snooping around looking for it.
Well, it may not be an app. It may not be in the Microsoft App Store because nobody writes anything for them. It could just be a URL that you have to check with your doctor and say, hey, what's the web portal that I have to use because I don't have an Android device? They should have that for you.
I went looking on Google Play.
Right, and Google Play doesn't have it either?
Well, they got it, but it goes back to mobile phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So go back to your doctor and say, hey, how do I get this Hilo through a browser? You have a computer, I hope, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you should be able to get it through just a regular browser through the portal.
Okay.
That's the way
all
I would
I
say.
Want to know.
You're welcome, Jim.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. But yeah, it's dangerous out there. That phishing call, you can't trust any of it, guys. I mean, no one's going to call you ever for any of this stuff. Just that the same scams are being used that were used when they call, and they knock on your door and they say they're from the water company or the gas company or whatever. This is the same kind of scam. It's just making a phone call. So there's nothing you can do about it other than realize that no one's ever going to call you. They don't put it this way. Do you really think the companies care that much about you? You got to be as cynical as me. They don't. They're not going to call you and say, hey, we're really concerned because we think somebody hacked into your account. And here we are calling you just to help you. We're just so, warm and fuzzy over here.
We want your money.
Yeah. They're not going to call you guys. So remember, if you remember that, you'll be fine. Did you have any other news articles you want to bring up before we go top of the hour?
No, I'm empty.
You're tapped out.
I'm tapped out.
All right. But back in that NordVPN. So we brought that up last time. And believe it or not, these guys are now finally going to use all the things that you should be doing to protect servers. They're going to do security audits, penetration tests. They're going to check for vulnerabilities. They're going to actually have a lockdown plan. Now, NordVPN was a highly rated VPN service, but obviously you just can't trust these guys to know what they're doing. And that's my point. Who are you going to trust? I use ProtonVPN. They're a Swiss company. They were created by Swiss military and MIT folks. So... But they could be just as lax, too. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be any better. We could have a news article about them in a couple of weeks. Who knows? But my point is, you just never know. Right now, technology and security are diametrically opposed. However, here in Connecticut, we did finally I guess, pick a cybersecurity person that actually has cybersecurity experience to be the czar rather than a bureaucrat. So we're making progress here in Connecticut. The old cybersecurity czar, per se, was literally just a bureaucrat. Had no IT experience whatsoever. But
we don't want anybody in government that actually knows what they're doing.
Exactly. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything. I want to thank Matt for producing. Dr. Alessi's in the green room. He'll be up next giving you a second opinion on your health advice.
See you next week.